What's in it for me? What's in the rest of that book for us? And I know he went through Genesis. Isn't that kind of far you got with Genesis, I think? And we're not looking for just details. And we're not looking for the outline of the books or anything like that. I want us to consider what's in it for us. Okay, like the creation. Okay, what's in it for us as far as the creation? Well, we have the details and the days and what was done in each day, and that's true. But what do we get out of believing the creation? So that's why I want us to consider what's in that? What's in knowing about the creation? Well, we learn about sin, and we realize that people are sinners today, but it isn't just because they've done some bad things. It's because of Adam and Eve, and that's part of the creation. So if you get rid of the creation thinking, you can toss this all this stuff out, you're probably a pretty good person. So that's what we're getting. You get the marriage design in there, which seems to be a problem nowadays. You get the why things are so crummy. I mean, you go to work and you plant a garden, and what grows up while you're working on this row, you can almost hear them in this row. Weeds. And you can plant all the poisons you want, and they're still, you know, it's just a circle that is just it's a circle of cursing. And same thing with us. Same thing with the man curse and the women curse. And then you see people trying to switch the roles. And we know that in Daniel 11, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to get rid of the roles of the woman, the natural. I said, how do you say that? Is it the natural use, I think? Maybe I'm thinking of Romans 1 or something. But we understand what's going on today by looking at the creation of what happened. That's what I want us to look. What's in the rest of that book for us? How about Noah? What's in that thing about Noah? Well, we know where rainbows come from and what they're for, right? And yet we see how the world, the witch crowd has taken rainbows and spoiled it. And once you start thinking about that, you start to notice a lot of things that are godly in its intent and the world has spoiled. Okay, so then you not have rainbows in your house? Do you not do this? Do you not do that? Because the world is spoiled on them? Or do you use them and show what God, you know, challenges all the time? I know he went over Abraham and Ishmael and stuff, so that sure explains all that, doesn't it? If you don't believe that, if you don't read the book of Genesis, you don't know what's going on in the Arab world. Stuff like that. How about Sodom and Gomorrah? What's the deal with Sodom and Gomorrah? It's pretty serious stuff. But you find out look at 2 Peter chapter 2, show you something, kind of an interesting thought here. It's a terrible thing. What's going on with queerism and lesbianism and biism and triism and animalism and all this kind of stuff? It's kind of like normal, really. When a grandpa has to explain to his grandson that is not a lady, he wanted them to be aware of that stuff. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 6 talks about. You see, I already read what it's talking about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says here, I'm turning to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now, we hear a lot of talk about the homosexual thing and all that, and it's not right. I mean, it's not right. But I will say that the way it's being approached out in the public from the Christian standpoint is very wrong. It's very bad. It just makes God look very hateful. And so Paul's approach, Paul never mentions it, other than in Romans, what's going on in the world, but he never deals with it as such. The other place this is in Jude. Jude 1, verse 7. And I got to thinking. Here it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Well, that vengeance of eternal fire is not going to happen today. And I got to thinking, you know, that's tribulation. Peter and Jude are tribulation. So it looks to me like in the tribulation, it says right there, given over to this wicked stuff. I mean, given over to this will be a common thing during the tribulation. Well, what do we say? We see clues here and there that we're getting closer to the tribulation. What's another clue? That this Sodom and Gomorrah lifestyle is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That doesn't mean we're in the tribulation, obviously, because we're still here, but it shows that we're getting closer. That's how I look at this thing. And according to Paul, a person's going to hell is because he rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior, not because they're queer. Or whatever they want. They call themselves queer. Why can't we call them what they call themselves? That's irritating. But anyway, and I just see that the two references to Sodom and Gomorrah that I saw without doing a deep study was in the Tribulation or the Old Testament. Today, those guys can have everything cleaned up just as much as anybody else. And if they can't get out of that wicked mess that they're in, because it's an addiction, it's a flesh thing, it's the sin that's within, they're still as clean as you and me. If they trusted the Lord. Not if they prayed a prayer or said a thing or read a repeat after me or just anything like that. If they trusted the Lord, then even those people go to be with the Lord when they die. But there's going to come a time where that kind of lifestyle will damn them. And that's the Tribulation. The right of dividing thing to me is so clarifying. So, now I'm not sticking up for them, by the way. You know that. I mean, we're not saying that that's okay. So if your kids, that's okay. We didn't teach them right, da-da-da-da. No, it's still a pretty bad thing. Okay, so and here's one. We learn in the book of Genesis, we know who was in the kitchen with Dinah. Ring a bell to anybody? Remember the song? How's that go? Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah, someone in the kitchen, I know, or something like that. Who was it? Who doesn't say in the kitchen of the Bible, but I just had to put that in there. Who was messing with Dinah? Yes, you don't know that. Look it up. She was messing with Dinah. Doesn't say kitchen, but got you to think about it anyway. What can you get out of Joseph and his sons, brothers? Patience. And just let God deal with things. Let the life that seems to pop up in your life, just be content and keep going. You never know. In 20 years, you may have something down the road. It's pretty cool. Anyway, all sorts of things we get. What's in the book of Genesis for us? What's in it for us? Well, tons of stuff. How about Exodus? Let's look at Exodus now a little bit. And this could actually take 66 Sundays if we... No. 39 Sundays, I think. 39 books in the Old Testament. 39 Sundays if we do one book a week type of deal, but we won't do that. But Exodus could take us a while. What's in Exodus for us? Well, you know what's in Exodus for us. The first thing you think of is what? What's the first thing you think of, Bill? Exodus. Yeah, leaving. There you go. See? So you get saved, you leave. You know, you cross the Red Sea type of thing, and then you start thinking of the Red Sea, the ocean that's up there, and the water and the ice, and all kind of stuff. Then you go weird to that because you've been reclimated and all that. What else do you think of in Exodus? Jared, just law. There you go. Moses and the law. Now, when you say the law, I think of Moses. One of the things I think of is how many times you went up the mountain down? Remember that one time? I forgot what the number was. I think it was 9. 7? 7? I just remember reading that a long time ago, thinking, look at this. He had to go up the guy. I thought he just went up once, got the stuff, came down, broke him, went back up, and everything's hunky-dory. But it wasn't. Poor guy. You know, that's a lot of walking. So things like that. What else you get out of the Exodus thing? Just anybody. Have you read the book Exodus? What? Plagues, oh yeah. Which ought to make you very what? Happy? No. Well, in a way, yes. Very thankful. Because you know what God could do. I mean, he could just make your life miserable. You think your dad's cruel? Ha! Aren't you glad he doesn't do that? I mean, look at what he could throw at you. You think your house is dusty today? You think you got bugs in your house? You know, look at all that stuff that those guys have. And God is very selective in his miracle making. He plagued the crowd, and right across the fence was a healthy cow. So he can take care of his own people. He's fine. I mean, you get just general things here. Let's see here. Signs are in there. Mercy, yeah. Visions, dreams. If you hear about signs, visions, and dreams, this is where you go to see a lot of them. Let's see here. Look at 1 verse 12. Exodus 1 verse 12. Here's something we ought to get out of this. I mean, they were really hard on the Israelites. They were really cruel to them, children of Israel. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The harder things get, we should what? Should get stronger. But that doesn't always happen. I just had fun going through these things the last couple of days and just looking at some very gentle. How about whining and murmuring? What does God think of that? You need an example? You know what going through all this Old Testament is going to do? Mim already said it. It's going to make you thankful. Because we're not there. How would you do? I wouldn't reject God like they did. I certainly wouldn't whine. I knew that we got water the other day. As your lips are parched, you know, kind of a thing. And I'm sure you would always be happy with Moses. He went, that was a good idea, Moses. That's a good idea. Let's go back up the mountain. Love to. Oh, we can't go with you up to the top of the mountain. Who are you? I mean, you already hear these things going on. Glory of God is mentioned in here. And we see in this case that this would be the Lord. The Lord. Well, then that tells us that Jesus Christ really, really was always around. He just wasn't manifest in this earth as flesh yet. But he was still there. He was there for this whole thing. Well, he was there from the beginning. He made the beginning. But this helps you realize that. So, we don't just ignore the rest of the Bible. So don't let people tell you that. Oh, you Paul guys, all you do is that New Testament little segment here and there, and you skip all the rest. We're not skipping all the rest at all. But I tell you what, we don't have the consequences those guys had to go through. But God still hates what he hates.
Right.
Hasn't changed his mind one iota. He just made it so it can be done without any punishment. Without any punishment? Oh no. There was punishment. He didn't skip any punishment. All the proper punishment was given. He just took it upon himself. That's what you get out of the Old Testament. Okay, let's go on here. How about something to do with, like Jerry said, the law, but let's get more specific with the law there. What? Commandments. Yeah, how many? Man, you're doing really well. Of course, you're going to Vegas here pretty quick, so. I got to give you some quarters. Well, you get better out of the food. Eating food. Oh man, you're gonna have a good time eating there. I think maybe it hasn't been that way. Ten commandments. Well, there's more commandments. What about some of those commandments? I mean, here we are today. What is a comment you might think of, and then again you may not, because you may not be thinking like my little brain is thinking this way. I hear commandments nowadays. I think of what? I think of them. I know there's more than the ten, but you know, the average Joe Blow out there, Jane Blow or whatever, they think of the ten. They just go with ten. And there's only nine. And the one that is not there anymore is? Yeah, remember the Sabbath day. And where do you find that proven at? Romans or where else? Colossians 2:16. If anybody says anything about a holy day, tell me to fly a kite. That's the NIV version there. They will understand that better. Look at chapter 21 of Exodus here. Now this law thing here, these commandments and that kind of stuff here. And when we profess to be Christians and we want to try to please God, amen, I mean, you can say it anyway. But you know, you start reading through these things. And some of this stuff is our lifestyle. I mean, we don't even hesitate to do some of this stuff. We don't even feel guilty. We don't even think the fact that, well, yeah, God paid liberty in Christ. We don't even think about it. It's just some things we do. And you pick that up as you go through Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. There are so many things that we do within our home that God hates, but it's not even preached because Paul doesn't deal with it. But there are things that God hates. I mean, and here's the one, I don't know why I think of this one all the time, but with the kids gone, all that stuff, I know there's visual things that take place within a family when it comes to pajamas and robes and undies and stuff like that within the homes. You know, God hates that. And he says you're not even supposed to see the family. That's just that's the only example I keep thinking of over and over all these years that that's wrong. Oh, but that's been nailed to the cross. So it's wrong, but and it's okay. Maybe it still ought to be wrong. If you want to try to have any kind of a Christian semblance of a family. Not that we're turning this into a holier-than-thou kind of a thing, but you read through, don't you read the laws, and don't you realize that you see some things that we just accept today as you're reading through, as you go through your Bible reading? Do you ever think like, well, yeah, you know, maybe I might. It's an image thing. There's another one, it's an image. You can have an image in your house of what we think to be, what they think to be Jesus Christ, and God isn't going to burn your house down, but you know what? That's still wrong. Well, but we can still do it. We have the liberty, da-da-da-da. If it helps our kids think of Jesus, then, okay, it gives us that concept of Jesus. Yes, but what about the wrong possibilities that your kids can get out of that stuff, too? We have the liberty to wear our jammies and da-da-da-da. After all, it's just family. Yeah, but what could it possibly cause down the road? There's a reason God hates the things that he does. And he paid for it, so it's not a problem. But there's still some flack that can come out of doing something that God doesn't like to have done. And there's a reason he doesn't like it. And then you just got to go into this thing and read them. I thought I had some listed here. This is a good one. Look at chapter 21, 5 and 6. Here we go. Well, pastor, cut it off. This is Old Testament, not even a problem. Well, it's still. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Get the pierced earring thing. You're pushing it. I don't know. Where'd that whole concept come from? You know, patience someday, if in the future, if you ever get married, you know, if that ever does happen, all that kind of stuff, and this guy comes up with one of those little awl things, and he says, here's how I'm going to claim you, and here's the earring I want you to wear, great big thing, you know. No, did you see some of the earrings people wear? I mean, it's not a wonder that their ears aren't down to here by the time they're 50 years old. And we laugh at these people in Africa that have the lip, you know, the big lip spoon in there and all that stuff, and their neck is wrapped around with cords, and you consider that. But one of these things, you know. And let's look at some more here. Look at verse 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be truly put to death. Capital punishment. Okay, well, let's claim capital punishment. Well, no, let's keep going here. Look at verse 14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, then thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Okay. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Oh. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Oh, yeah, wow. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Oh, wow. So this is, the Old Testament law is classic pick and choose. Totally classic. We will pick 12, but we will not pick 17. Why not? What is the matter with 17? Yeah, we wouldn't be here talking, you know. My dad, whoa, what was that? Well, he was over there cursing about his dad, so, you know. Oh, I tell you. Got any more? I got 20 and 27 for some reason. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If a man strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. Oh. Let the husband decide. What's the matter with that? Let him pick. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for... I like that tooth for tooth. That's for a dentist. He hurts you, you hurt him. Hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Boy. Yeah, you just go. I remember just going through these things, thinking, boy, you know, some of this stuff is terrible, but we don't do it, but because we're a righteous nation, we used to be a righteous nation, so we get a lot of our righteousness from the Old Testament, and that's a design that God dislikes, so America dislikes it, but we still pick and choose. I mean, if mouthing off your mom and dad would be considered not just swearing at them, but if that's a problem, then poof, they're dead, they're gone. Well, I'll tell you what, your kids would be so much better, not that you guys do that. You know, I mean, that's how it would be. And then, like Jerry says, either we'd be dead, or we'd have some pretty good kids, because their life is in danger if they, you know. And you can't say that you haven't thought about it. Not to the kids, I mean parents. You know, what'd you just say to me? You know, and the law goes against, actually the law today is totally opposite now. If the kid says something wrong, the parents can go to jail. They can turn in. California's getting ready to make spanking against the law, so. Here, I got these markers for kind of why. Chapter 22, verse 18, what's that one? Let's see what that is here. 22:18, 18:19, 20. Probably 18, okay. 18 is, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. There you go. Go out to downtown and pick a witch or two. Invite her over for dinner, then poison them. Whoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. That's becoming pretty popular, by the way. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. That'd take care of Rick Warren. All these churches, you know. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. No, that's a good reminder there. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cried all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. He really says it well, doesn't he? I got 22 to 24 for some reason, yet we did that one. Okay, 25. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. And Jerry, can I borrow some money from him? Probably won't pay it back, but don't have to bill me any interest either or anything. What a good guy. Stuff like that. I mean, go where you want with that stuff. 29:31, okay, thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise thou shalt do with thy oxen, and with thy sheep, and thy trucks, and thy cars, I suppose. I don't know, tractors. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Well, that's just roadkill. We're not into that. Really, I don't want to get the roadkill thing. But I suppose if you get a hit of deer right off the bat, get them quick, you know. No? You shall cast it to the dogs. Dogs. Yeah, dogs, huh? Boy, doesn't that just kind of lead us into this morning a little bit? Anyway, Exodus, altar and tabernacle details. Don't have the trim up there. I better get the trim up there, and we got a bunch of ouches around here, but they're not the biblical ouches, you know. There's a couple of ouches right here, the stain of the carpet. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? But if he wanted a physical temple, it would be exact. So these churches that think they're building God's temple, God's tabernacle, and they're sucking money out of people, but they're still not even close. Still not even close. Read the details on that thing. Oh, let's see. The noise of war in the camp. Who was doing that? In the back of the Mount Sinai stuff. Who was the one that was doing the music, noise of war? Partying. Them that what? Sing. It's the choir. It was the musicians. It was the praising going on that was terrible. What are we looking at today in our church? You go into a church, what's the problem? The first thing you hear? Them that sing, it's horrible. just a horrible thing. God hates it. He hates to talk about that in Amos. And then I got Moses going up and down. So there, I mean, just tons of stuff. What's in the Bible for us? What's in the rest of the Bible for us? Oh, man, tons of stuff. And we tend to forget what we get out of the Old Testament in our reading. So don't forget, because it's still the whole counsel of God. And we're still supposed to preach all that. But, you see, Genesis, Exodus, what's next, Austin? Leviticus, then what? Numbers? More laws in there. So as you read your Bible, just be what, man? Thankful. If that is, if there's anything you get out of the Old Testament, just be thankful you're not there. I would do better. Right. Anyway, a couple minutes. We'll go upstairs.